sorry.
Okay, did David come? David is not coming. David is on vacation. Rich has, could not attend this meeting.
You do have something, yeah.
Yeah, he's got another event thing. I don't think it's an 80s dance show.
It's something fun, though.
Oh, good. So...
I'm told that the governor just has to sign to allow us to go back to Zoom.
Oh, good.
Okay, that...
That's good. This is a pretty chill group.
I don't mind coming.
This one I don't mind so much because it's so few people come here.
Yeah.
Right, but you know, it is nice to actually talk with each other without masks on.
Can we do both?
I don't know if there was special funding the city was looking for if to be able to do both Zoom and in person.
Yeah, we have the equipment.
Okay.
I haven't used it yet, but Michael Hoffman has tried it out and it works great, he said.
Oh, good.
Cool. Excellent.
Okay, I'm just going to ask it this way. Did Linda write anything in the minutes about me that looked bad?
No. You seem very honest. Hillary said. Do you want to look at them briefly?
No, I want to move on.
Okay.
I want to move on.
I'm good with the...
Yeah, we'll do it next month. So sorry
okay.
about that. I sent everybody a homework assignment and didn't do it myself. Okay, the first thing on our agenda today is the Solar Ad Hoc Committee request of interest, expression of interest, the RFEI. When we were here, David and I were both here for the presentation. It all sounded very good, and when we were really reading through the document and really looking at the maps, we both were quite concerned that the only thing that seemed to be on the docket for solar arrays was the landfill.
Mm-hmm.
So,
No.
Well,
no.
There is a little bit other, yes, there is. Other area. I apologize. I shouldn't have said it that way. But we were surprised that the map was not marked up to disallow the capped landfill from being used.
Yes.
So we discussed that. I wrote a response, and I also marked up a map and. Sent that to Tom and to Peter Bajano, and there were also, it seemed that the zoning, that the county doesn't have the current zoning in the county GIS system or at real property, so that the area in question, the area that we're talking about for solar, is labeled industrial, whereas the city zoning map has it as recreational conservation. So I
say that again. The county has it as
industrial,
and the city has it as recreation.
Correct. And it seems that the county doesn't change anything without authorization from each town and the city. So it seems that they never. Got the proper paperwork for changing it. I'm not positive, but it seems that way. So I think that is going to get changes. I don't know if there's somebody that we should contact about that.
Well, for which part, I mean, which part is affected? It's not affected by the IDA property, is it? There are two properties.
There are two properties.
You're saying they're both?
They are.
Recreational?
Both maps were in
oh,
the
okay.
Yeah. This is just a map section. I didn't. My printer ran out of juice. So
and we had a conversation about this issue of scale, right? The economy of scale, and we know that.
No, the one. I'm sorry.
That's right. And we know that the areas that we have highlighted here, the purple on the map, this guy, that this is, about how many acres are those three circles? Do we know? Do you happen to know?
No, I don't know what the acreage is.
I guess what my question is, does our position, is it so limiting that it kind of ends up not being, there's no economy of scale? By the way, I'm only asking, asking a question, that it's no longer worth pursuing the solar array.
First, the main property that I always was concerned with is not in the recreation. So that's good.
Okay. Let me see your maps.
On the eastern side of Second Street is not recreational conservation. Excuse me? Eastern side, yeah.
Correct. Right.
So that's the only property I ever really thought should be part of it anyway.
Right.
Now, Hillary found out this other. Can I write on that?
Of course.
There's a small part, like right around here, that you noticed.
This is the little circle right, that you've got here.
Yeah.
But there's also all of this.
Yeah, no, all of this, right.
Right. Okay.
We're not going to use, we don't want that anyway.
Right, right.
So the question is, can this little part be rezoned? We probably could, but I just want to stick with the original property.
Right, but if we can use the marked up map so that the people aren't being misled.
Oh, yeah, no, I absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I just haven't talked to Peter yet because I'm so
busy.
Busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
you saw what I responded. And how
yes, I did. Okay. And right. And so.
So the Atlas Brickyard property is just not even supposed to be in it at all, ever.
Right.
Okay. So that won't be there. And then if we can, I mean, I don't know what we can do, but that little spot that is potentially useful, because I don't know, maybe we'll take that property out of the proposal too.
Well,
they may use it, even though it's fragmented. They might use it for like staging the equipment.
And there's no reason to not use it. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be easy to rezone if it indeed has to be rezoned in order to.
Right, to use it.
So, might not have to be.
So we are really looking at this section.
Yeah.
Show me.
It's right.
Can you just
including that little build out there, maybe?
No, it's right around here.
Got it.
Like that.
Right. Oh, okay, a little kitten.
Yeah, it's a plateau.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Got it.
It's above the Charles Williams Park. Yeah.
Right. I can pull that up. Bigger.
And this is considered an appropriate size for an industrial solar array?
Well,
commercial solar array. That's the part we don't know yet. Yeah. Okay.
But and I've been told 5 acres is enough.
Sounds right.
And then if you go across the street, you add another 3 or 4 maybe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some of those solar arrays I'm seeing in town or outside of town aren't even an acre.
Right.
Not even an acre.
Just the newspaper article already got people interested.
Cool.
Asking for
that. That's awesome.
Good.
So there's going to be interest.
Because there was concern that like all these restrictions would limit interest, so that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess, I guess the...
It's a hot market.
Yeah, that's what they say.
It's a hot market. And Hudson is a hot place. And we're an opportunity zone.
Yeah.
That's got to have an impact as well.
Yeah, I was looking at that.
That's actually,
so
I guess they would probably benefit from opportunity zone status as well. So, yeah. Yeah,
that wouldn't be. So,
she's got a question.
I'm sorry.
I have a quick question. Is the idea for the solar array that it would actually be power for the city, or is it more like it would go into the grid and
either way?
I guess that's all of them go into the grid, I think, don't they?
Yeah, they all actually do that.
Yeah, they all go into the grid.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure all of those go in.
I think there are some systems where
there might.
They actually really literally power the place.
We'll find out
people might propose one or the other, maybe.
I think different companies might propose different things.
Well, that's
some do community solar where where it's specific households buy into it or something, but we don't know what we're going to get back. But what our concern with the CAC was that to make sure that the cap landfill was really
not
on the table for solar arrays.
Yeah.
And so we referenced the memo that the CAC already sent to the solar committee,
mm-hmm.
and we wrote another one reiterating and expanding on that,
mm-hmm.
Which we can discuss if we like the way it was. It's David edited it today. We sent it around. Maybe there would be more edits.
I don't have additional edits. I thought it made it very clear to the person drafting our our position. And if the RFI deviates from the letter, it's deliberately deviating. Then it's like super clear. You are
mm-hmm.
confused when you read the CAC
okay.
position.
Okay. I don't know if you had an opportunity to look.
Yeah, I feel. I don't know if I missed the conversation last night, but there's a part of me that feels like saying, draw the line, absolutely no solar on that site ever for whatever reason. I feel a little uncomfortable with that.
You mean the cap landfill
site? On the cap landfill site, yeah. Because maybe down the line we figure out, you know, there are good ways to do it. I would lean toward having the CAC strongly suggest other places first, you know, and leave that site as like a last resort.
Well,
years in the future, whatever we want to say, but like, you know, totally ruling it out, I don't think makes sense to me.
Well, I think that's the way Peter felt, but I think it does for now, just to see what we get. And
for the RFI, whatever you call
yeah.
it, I think it makes sense right now to
yeah.
say, but I'm saying for the CAC
yeah.
memo.
Oh, right, for you guys.
In terms of our
right.
position, to say that finally and like never
but
ever revisit
right.
the
but
same
time,
possibility, I feel mixed about.
The biggest problem is the relationship of the city to the county regarding that site. Peter, I think, has a more benign sense of that than most of us do
mm-hmm.
in terms of you know dealing with the county.
Right.
And maybe that's why he wanted to keep that on the as a possibility.
Well, he had expressed that if the city didn't claim it, the county could take some sort of like eminent domain and take it.
He did
from
claim
us,
that,
and then the county would benefit financially from developing it into a solar array. And
right.
we don't have any power to stop the county, so it was sort of like he had said, "Let's capture it before they do."
Right.
And so, and I think he was just sort of storyboarding
mm-hmm.
out a possibility, which is why. But in terms of like environmentalism mission, our goal would be to say not develop this.
Right.
And if the expression, the RFIs come back and they aren't favorable or financially beneficial to the city because of the sites we've identified, and the CAC letter identifies also infrastructure that's already established options. So if the city finds that none of these are favorable, perhaps the CAC could then reevaluate. But I think we're storyboarding out so many different
mm-hmm.
iterative possibilities.
And that one's the toughest in terms of the negotiation. And if they did try to take it in, they'd obviously have to pay the city, but it might work for them. I don't know. Because then they have then they would have the full responsibility for that landfill. So I don't know if they want to do that either.
It's not that appealing a site. I mean, it's
well,
probably pretty appealing, but there's got to be quite a few sites up and down the Hudson where a solar array could go, and why would you go through the whole eminent
yeah.
domain process to put it on the top of a landfill?
Right. When
a capped landfill,
I know.
Is has a semi-permeable
and
potentially, you know,
yeah.
like breakable surface that could lead to leachate and all kinds of environmental problems that would be the county's responsibility, it strikes me as a giant liability.
Anyway, you know,
why would you
because,
want the liability of that?
Right, and that's why, you know, all
I don't see it.
That's why the city pulled back from that.
Right.
It's really not a good place.
It was nice
that
there was the CLC proposal, but they would only go for it if the city took responsibility.
I bet. Well, of course, because you have to, you know, you have to make that risk public. You have to, you know, which is a terrible idea.
Well,
can you tell me about this, the CLC thing you're referencing?
CLC has a very interesting trail proposal that goes over the land cap, and I think eventually they would like to, I don't know where it ends, but it comes into the, well into the city and everything.
Right.
And they got a grant at one point to design the whole thing, and it's all designed, and you know.
Yeah.
But the landfill was the sticking point. The county said, you can build on that. Well, actually, at one point, I think they said you can't at all. They just said no. And then it became the CLC could do it if the city would take responsibility for the landfill.
For the whole landfill.
For the whole landfill. And that means, you know, apparently there is still leachate coming out on the southern side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the city doesn't want that responsibility.
I presume there's a capture system then on that southern side. Oh. Well, you know, that's maybe something that we should be doing at some point, is to really do a, you know, do a little bit of a forensic analysis of that little landfill over there, because I don't know that much about that landfill.
No, I spoke with Jolene Race, the director of, yes, you found it.
Yeah, question.
Jolene Race, who's the director of Solid Waste, and has been involved with Solid Waste for over 30 years for the county. And she, I didn't even speak with her on this topic. We were talking on other topics, and somebody brought up the landfill, and she said, nothing
I would
is
imagine
happening
nothing.
To my landfill.
To my landfill.
Well, no, she didn't, she actually, I don't
she
know.
She probably did.
There's
that.
Others in the county, right? As my understanding from Peter, there are a number of them.
Yeah, but she,
and
yeah.
There will be. The Ron Knott, who's in charge of whatever the title is on the county level, apparently was looking at all the landfills as potential sites.
Mm-hmm. And but she said that it is seeping, and that it's they're scheduled October that they're going to be investigating that further. They were just had way too much going on in September, and I'll contact her and ask her what more is going on, and if I could go on a field trip with them when they go do that. I would love to find out more about that. But I wanted to also say something about what you were saying earlier, and that is, as a CAC, we're an advisory, tell me if I'm wrong, we're an advisory council to the Common Council. And we're, so I think that it's not inappropriate to make a strong statement of how we feel about this in 2021. And it's not legislation. It's not something that we say it today and something can never change or never happen in the future when another, you know, CAC or different stewards start reevaluating things. So I wasn't too fearful about just saying strongly, no, this is off the table.
I agree.
But
I mean, I appreciated the words you said, the phrasing, that currently, right now, mm-hmm. I think it's not a good idea.
Yeah.
But it's phrased as sort
table.
Of forever.
Off the table isn't never. Things can go
it's
back
on
the
tonight's
table.
Menu.
I mean, I don't know why we can't just say we do not recommend. I mean, you could say, you could be very forceful about it, or you could say the CAC recommends the following rather than the CAC does not recommend the following.
Right, and we did get
thereby
into that later in the document.
Focusing on what we recommend
at
and
this time,
yeah.
We don't recommend. Versus
or just
we don't
what,
recommend.
This is what we recommend.
No qualifier.
This is what we recommend.
Yeah.
Tom wanted to bring something else up.
Well, I just on the CLC plan, I mean, to me it looks like they... it keeps spinning. The trail, like, down by the water, that's the one that's of concern to everyone, right? Because it's like, that'll be below the leaching and blah, blah, blah. That'll be a whole problem. I mean, I know this is tangential because it's not about solar, but this part of their plan, I think, is still
the upland really trail. Good.
Yeah. And so this might, you know, interact with the Charles Williams solar panel. Solar, because there's the Charles Williams, and I think the solar panel would be like, the solar farm would be like there. So anyway, I still think this path is worth the city.
That's.
I think that's an older version.
That's a different trail. That's already existing, and that's the trail that goes near your house. That's the Empire State Trail.
No. That's this. That's this red one.
I can't see from there.
Sorry. This is the Dugway.
Oh, right? Yeah, okay. What are you looking at?
This thing.
The one that goes up there.
Oh.
It goes to green.
Yeah, you know, basically my goal, and like other like runners and environmentalists and people like environmental justice minded people, I'm sure it's a lot of you too, would love this connection. And
this is a proposed.
Yeah, yeah. Proposed. And so it looks like it goes behind Harney. It's like from Charles Williams behind Harney. And up to the Greenport.
I mean, this is the idea that Hudson will finally be connected to the Greenport Conservation Area, which it currently is not.
Which I think is incredibly important. And
I agree.
Yeah.
I think that was David's goal in trying to keep the solar right out of that space, because once that space is awarded to a solar contractor,
that's it.
They could say there's no circulation through, because they have that parcel.
Well, they will say that.
That was the driving factor of David's initial letter, was to say, let's not touch the landfill area because it
isolates. Outside the landfill area. Here's the landfill area, if I'm reading this correctly. Here's like Harney Tees.
Yeah.
Here's the Charles Williams Park, the Dugway up to the Empire State Trail. So this is the proposed trail that I think is the best.
Can I just say regarding solar arrays more generally in landfill?
Mm-hmm. One solar farm is proposed for right there.
Yeah.
My personal feeling about this is that I don't care what landfill it is. I don't think it matters where it is.
Yeah, can work together.
Solar arrays on the top of a landfill, a capped landfill, seems to me to be an extremely risky proposition because of the fact that they have to be secured onto that landfill, which means that in order for them to be secured, you have to. I can't see how you could not go through the barrier.
Well, Peter had talked about this at his last presentation, that it could be ballasted, so that the photovoltaic panels could be ballasted without having to do a penetration into the cap.
So there are all these concrete ballasts out in the field that they would sit on. Now, what I talked with Gretchen Stevens, who is with Scenic Hudson, she's a naturalist, and I asked her what are the problems with that on a hill, or what do solar arrays on a hill do when we have torrential rainfall? And she said, well, there are ditches that are created right below the array as it tips, and it eats away and erodes the soil underneath. And that in itself, I wasn't even asking her in a pejorative way. I just said, what happens when it rains on the solar arrays? And she said it creates ditches right below them at the lower edge, and they create deep ruts.
I imagine it must be destabilizing.
Well, since...
Long-term.
Yeah, I would think so, too, and I would think that it would erode, you know, the cap in a certain way, that it gets very thin in certain areas.
Exactly.
And that's dangerous. But...
But clear the state allows it.
It just feels like you guys are, like, guessing, you know? And so,
totally guessing here, because I am familiar with landfill... I mean, it's not rocket science how landfills are capped,
mm-hmm.
and they are pretty... They're a delicate matter. They can be punctured, and they can leach, and they can erode very quickly.
I mean,
it's very expensive.
Assumption that we had heard that the state and maybe the federal government are kind of pushing exploration of this as an option, and so it's not a totally crazy idea that it might happen someday too. So I'm all for figuring it out and putting solar places where it's safe, but not totally ruling out landfills because it feels sketchy.
It's not that it feels sounds sketchy.
So why don't?
But it could eventually be discovered to be fine. Okay. So I don't have a big conflict with the thing. I just think we should say something about currently we don't have. Yeah, we don't feel comfortable putting it on the landfill.
Yeah, why don't we just say currently at this time?
Right. I've written that down big here to make sure that it has that attitude. And unless you want to go through editing line by line tonight.
No, I
would just like to be sure that currently does not become a big open door to enter into, well, how about we look at the landfill for this RFI then? Because I think that's very easy to happen. If we open the door for the possibility that we should include the landfill in there, because we're not sure, that's what's going to happen. I don't know that it helps the city. That's my feeling. I don't know, what does Tom think?
It's not going to be in there. I mean, it's not going to happen.
Okay, so then there's no issue. If it's not going to happen, then there's no issue.
If the new or the revised or the updated RFEI is going to contain some kind of marked up map, it doesn't have to be the one I marked up, but indicates what our CAC suggestions are, then that's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I told you in the email that.
I know you did, I know, but we still had to.
There's no doubt.
Yeah, we still had to discuss it, and I think we still have to make our position official. My only concern is whether I
try to revise it with Peter or just go ahead and revise it myself. That's all.
And if I could just reiterate the second thought, that I had of adding any language possible, at least in our recommendation. I don't know if it's possible in your RFP, but I would love it to be in there, but the awareness of the fact that the solar panels, even on the CAC thumbs up parcels, could be part of a path connecting to Greenport. So, I don't know if be aware of that is a good thing to put in an RFP or plan for it, but I don't want. I would love if a solar panel farm above the Charles Williams Park did not preclude, having a trail to connect to the Greenport. So, if there's any language in there,
it's in there. It's actually in there.
Am I missing it? Sorry.
It says here, that's an appropriate land use. The Columbia Land Conservancy designed. It's hard for me to read. And in 2015, committed to working with this county, the city of Hudson, to create a trail network. Okay. The circumnavigates the capped portion of these parcels to achieve access to the Greenport Conservation Area while protecting the habitat. I mean, we could potentially make that a little more overt.
Yeah, Tom, would it be good if what I do is go back and redo the markup so that it shows where that trail goes through?
You could get the screenshot from the CLC proposal.
Right. And overlay it and put it right where and so that we indicate that this is, a passageway and all that.
I think so.
And even
that trail is an up in the air possibility, but just to
it is.
Keep proposed. That idea circulating, because we are trying to balance all these values, right?
Right.
The solar bring this.
Maybe so you reference the CLC master plan. Master trail plan, just so that's the most current document, so you don't have conflicting information of what you're drawing versus their master plan.
Yeah, that's true. That I can definitely do that. I just thought that the response was long enough at 6 pages, but I'd be happy to do that.
Well, that shortens it. Just saying, please refer to.
Yeah, it does. It does. Should the RFEI, which is a really difficult thing to say. RFEI include a link to the CLC proposed concepts.
I just wrote that down, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Okay, so have we kind of talked this through?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, the next thing I moved up on the agenda was to see if we can play a role as the CAC with the city, if we can propose or how a partnership between the CLC, the city, and the county, and what role we could play in actually forwarding this idea of re-engaging in the concept of that the CLC had proposed for the area. And David said he'd be very interested in serving on that, but a big part of this would be the city will, city hall's will, common council's will, and county will. But I just wanted to put it out there that maybe since we're wanting to remove something from one concept, it's like then okay, this is what we want to be engaged in and move forward.
Yeah, I think the only problem is going to be finding, you know, they're going to hit a brick wall with the county.
Is there one of the...
I don't know, for sure. It's worth trying.
Hudson County Supervisors that would be a good partner in getting that to... Yeah.
Yeah, you should ask Michael.
Yeah, Shemetti. Yeah. Okay. Well, and also... Yeah. I forgot. Because he used to also work for the CLC.
For Michael?
Yeah. Does anybody else have thoughts on that?
If Michael might have helped written the CLC.
He might have.
I was referencing, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think it's really important to keep that conversation alive. I'd love to be part of that conversation, and I know, you know, like, Nick Zakos would be too, probably. Mm. And, Michael, but yeah.
Yeah, I'd love, I mean, I think it's great to turn it into a conservation area.
Yeah. And, good. Well, so there's plenty of interest from the CAC between you, Tom, Brett, me, David, and hopefully Michael could get re-involved. And I think you're right. The hardest part is the county part. Okay. Any hints? Well, but the first approach, would that be to the mayor's office, the common council, just saying we're interested in doing this, being involved in this and aiding?
No, you wouldn't need her. You just go ahead and start. No, I mean, it's all going to be a question of what you come up against with the county, and then to see what they would insist on, and then, you know, the negotiation would have to begin or not.
But I think approaching the county would be easier if there's some backing from common council or mayor.
We'd back it. I mean, the CLC knows that, you know, as long as I've been in office, I've told them I'd back it.
Maybe just if you CC Tom on the email, it says he's supporting it. Would that be
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
If Hillary were to reach out to the county and include you as a CC, is that that's sure. Basically like saying you're sanctioning it because she wouldn't reach out without you being on the emails.
Okay, I think I might try and talk with.
No, I think as a CAC, you are capable of representing the city to the county. You don't need You don't need our approval at this point. Our approval only matters when something is, you know, when it gets to a negotiating thing with them wanting something from the city and the city wanting something else.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I think that for strategy, it would be good to maybe speak with Michael first since he's been on the County Board of Supervisors for a while. Okay. Good. I'm not sure if anybody else, because David's not here, and I wasn't able to do any research further on urban alternative energy and that we had talked about last time. Tom, you weren't here, but we had talked about dividing it into four four papers that we want to put together. One about the art overview on alternative energy, and then that you can see the four points there. A recommendation for city code changes, and it was suggested that we research stretch code that's happening in other cities. Recommendation on commercial and municipal use of hardscape for energy capture, and recommendations and guidance for small businesses and individual homeowners is a fourth paper. I didn't have any time to do any research on any of these in the last month.
I looked a little bit at stretch codes. Little bit of stretch codes.
Oh, I thought you said you looked at the dress code.
No, but it does. That is something that I would probably do, actually, being that that is what I do. But no, I look at stretch codes. I mean, there's a load of them. And they're kind of, in fact, I just brought up the Brookline, Massachusetts stretch code for building materials. And they tend to be, I mean, the stretch code is essentially the second line of defense behind the base code, which is your code enforcement, and then you've got these stretch codes that are somewhat voluntary.
Does it make sense to loop in Craig?
Yeah, he's on overload. I think that we would do our research, and before publishing anything, we would loop him in. I mean, because we're not proposing actual code changes, but we're getting philosophy down, and when it gets to that point, I wouldn't want to publish anything without talking with Craig.
Yeah,
he's
Craig Hogan.
Oh, Craig Hayes. I'm sorry, the code enforcement officer.
Okay. Cool, thank you.
Yeah, because he'd probably say, yeah, if you can give me about four more guys on my team.
I mean, if you want, I could take on, I would take on doing a sort of pager or two pager on stretch codes regarding like building materials, for example.
Okay,
because there's like a half a dozen places.
In this particular case, we're looking to do this set of papers on alternative energy.
Oh, okay.
But if you are feeling building materials, we can also use that.
Well, the only reason is because those are parts of the energy code, the actual building material issue.
That is also true.
Yeah.
Like blazing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's actually how a lot of these, you know, these sort of energy saving codes are written into the stretch code through material, most of its material use.
Go for it.
Yeah.
I
And it's all there. It's not like I have to write anything. I can literally just copy and paste examples from different communities that have done it successfully for a while now.
Okay, that's wonderful. My apologies for jumping in the wrong direction on that. Well, in our you know, maybe I will take on going more in depth on what it takes to make recommendations about solar on hardscape in the environment. Maybe I will, because find out what other municipalities have done. If there is some, if there are, I talked to Sun Solar about residential, but I asked him, I said, would you be willing to have a conversation with me about hardscape and how to do that efficiently, and they are willing to do that, just to understand how it works, you know, that if they're able to link enough properties together to make it worth their while, or, you know, just how large a building has to be, or, you know, things like that. So I will look
talk
into
to them
that.
And write up notes. That'd be awesome.
And
maybe on all of them, but especially maybe that last bullet, I'm just thinking, if, you know, it's kind of jumping ahead to our Climate Smart Communities thing.
Yes.
So Michael and Rich and I met, and our plan is to go through all the possible actions for the Climate Smart Communities program, and, you know,
have a sort of spreadsheet because the way you look at it online currently is just too hard.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have everyone having passwords into the official application and misclick once and you reapply and can't touch it. So it's a really weird thing. So we're making a Google spreadsheet and sort of saying which ones we've done, which ones we could get more points on, which ones we have 0 points on so far. And somehow we're going to try to figure out a set of priorities. You know, maybe we'll meet and then like bounce ideas off you guys and then meet. But, you know, clearly some of them are related to alternative energy and what government could do, small businesses, individuals. So if urban alternative energy is a focus of the CAC, then maybe our CSC subcommittee can focus on the action items in there.
That would be great.
Kill or whatever, feed two birds with one seed, as someone said. Yeah, and you know, we get points for whatever our thing and keeping up our commitments to that, and maybe get some more information for that planning paper.
Cool. Well, since you're on it, do you want to tell us anything else about what you're doing in Climate Smart right now?
That's basically it. This spreadsheet, I'm trying to pick priorities, and we're really in the beginning stages, I guess, of figuring out. Oh, and there's a county Climate Smart. The county is a Climate Smart community, and they just sent us an email. I don't know if we're all on it or you just sent it.
I did. Yeah.
But basically, they want to convene us all, the municipalities in the county, to share ideas and how to go forward. That feels really good because we're sort of like, I don't know, pick one of these 100 possible recommended actions randomly.
We'll learn a ton from that too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I forget
the
name.
You know who the most progressive town is in the county? I think it's New Lebanon.
Yay!
It's amazing. It's amazing.
I'm moving back to New Lebanon.
Climate Smart Issues is probably the most progressive town in the county.
My hometown.
I'm proud. They really pushed it.
Well, the woman who's is really good. What's her name?
Histria.
Yeah. She's really good. Yeah. She's a bit of a rock star.
Histria.
Yeah.
Histria.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And she's a cool person. So I think that's good, it actually reminds me, if I'm not interrupting you.
No, go for it.
New York State has a consortium or a get together with all of the CAC chairs all across the state. And they asked, I'm actually, believe it or not, getting into our budget on the agenda. They asked if the CAC could the Hudson CAC could pay their dues to belong to the state CACs, which is $75. I know. But I think it would be good because I would like to be able to learn what's happening.
Do we have enough?
All across the state. Well, actually,
that's a question.
Now that we have segued into budget, I asked the treasurer. She said we have approximately enough. She's not sure. We have to be careful. We can't talk too much to pay
to
for Linda's work, which we appreciate very much and we value highly. So we might go over budget if we spend the $75.
Not a big deal.
Not a big deal. Good. I will sign up for the...
You just do it and get a voucher.
I just paid about $165 in parking tickets to the city.
Oh, good, we're good. Okay.
I'm covering the whole budget.
Okay. So then we've talked about the budget, except for the fact that October is budget season, and I will want to ask for more than just to cover the expenses, to have Linda write her really good notes and keep the minutes for us. And I want to be able to do things like advertising and posters and Arbor Day. And I don't want to ask for a lot, but we had $720 this year. I would like to at least double that so that we can do a few more things.
Let's be a little more ambitious.
Do we want to take a vote on that?
I want to vote for $2,500.
I want to vote for $4,500.
We used to have a budget of $2,000, and then 2020 happened. I'm not saying we didn't go into 2020 with 2,000, but before when the CAC was writing the NRI, there was a larger budget, and there were different expenses, and there is a computer that needed some programs. Anyway,
do we need to?
I don't know. We're going to have to. Maybe we should figure out if everybody could get back to me with what ideas you have of things that you'd like to have included in the budget. And so we'll put together a wish list, and then we'll ask for it, and then we'll get real.
Okay. Sounds like a good plan.
Okay, good. So we've taken care of that. I'll just give the quickest urban forestry update. It's going really well, and we had a really good meeting with the director of Oakdale and the program director at Oakdale, and so that's all moving forward, and there was a press release on that, and
what's the target completion?
Before the end of the year. I mean, the completion of doing the inventory is before the leaves fall off, and then he will go hunker down and do the written aspect of it, but the data collection will be done before the leaves fly. He's working on a few.
Took your photos and all your words word for word and made a social media post.
Thank you. So, yeah, I sent it to Michael Hoffman, who said I'd made some typos. So you took a typos and all. That's fine.
If you, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Revisit it.
So, Britt, do you want to talk? Britt and Marie, I'm sorry. Do you want to talk about the Arbor Day plans?
Sure. So we want to do Arbor Day on October 16th, just a light one where we do one tree in every ward. We've selected the locations for the trees. We have marked most of them out with spray paint. I have met with Rob Perry to secure his buy-in. He has approved that he will pre-dig the holes for us.
Okay, cool.
Rich, Hillary, and I met with the DPW crew, and they also gave us their helpful feedback and approval as much as they can. Obviously, their boss supersedes. So we'll get support from their end so that on Arbor Day, we only have to plant the tree and backfill. We've made a poster, and then I've also made a tree tag that can hang from each new tree, identifying the species and saying I was planted this day and donated. So, and Marie has gotten soil from Lowe's, possibly, as a donation.
Has started the process.
Yes, but I need that. Well, I haven't done the letter since we talked on the phone 2 days ago, because I've had...
I sent it to you.
So the
but yes,
girl,
okay, you did. Oh, all right, cool.
And then I've also secured trees for us at a wholesale nursery in Valencia, Paperhook.
Mm-hmm.
And based on the site's ornamental or shade tree, because we have a couple of power lines. And at the moment, they're available. So the biggest hurdle for us now is getting the $2,500 to buy the trees. And we have to go through an agency to buy them. So we've reached out to Hudson Development Corporation and Hudson Parks. Parks is meeting, like, I want to say September 5th. At 3 p.m. as I track their emails.
It's actually got changed to the 12th because of the holiday weekend. They changed it to the...
Well, I wish they would meet sooner because we need them to approve this and say, yes, here's the money.
Does Rich believe that the parks will have enough money to provide the funding?
He's hopeful, but without the meeting, who knows?
Yeah.
So he's hopeful, and then we're hoping that you can twist some elbows.
So I have no problem with that. The difficulty is, and Hillary and I have discussed this, they aren't meeting until the 28th of September. So it would be very hard for us. It's just, this is kind of what I'm saying. It's very difficult to get approval for something and to wait that long. We just can't. We have to know in like the next, well, yesterday really, to get that budget. So I feel like the parks is our kind of,
that's what we're hoping. So, they're going to meet on the 12th. If by the 13th they don't say, great, then we can't do Arbor Day.
I'm a little concerned, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Unless somebody's
HDC,
got...
HDC has a special meeting on September 7th.
HDC does?
Yeah.
Special meeting September 7th? Yay.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting that she didn't mention that to me.
Well, maybe she didn't.
She didn't want me to know.
Yeah.
Just joking. Yeah.
So...
this is what I would...
You may have changed the date because the 7th is also...
I'll double check.
See, it's one of those days soon.
Okay, I'll double check.
Maybe we have to go to that meeting and hopefully request, because that's sort of, we've lined up so many docs, it would be a shame.
Is HDC a public meeting?
Yes.
The one thing I did want to recommend, and it's been a little minute since I last looked at the proposal, but to put, for the sake of HDC, I think I'd like to put it into the context of this is kind of planting the seed for a long-term...
Yeah, for future Arbor
Yeah,
days.
So this is just our... but not just Arbor Day, like just a tree planting program for the city of Hudson into the future.
Right.
I think they were looking for something with... like there's a vision...
Yeah, there's long-term goals.
Exactly.
We're dipping a toe
in. Exactly.
Five trees can be seen as insignificant to some, and it can be...
Brandon knew that it's a very costly and difficult process, so she's not concerned with that. It was just to put it in the context of
Absolutely.
Something more
this is long-term goals.
Long-term, yeah. We're planting the seed. It's five trees this year.
Which I think actually blends in nicely to the DRI connectivity sidewalk component, which is
exactly.
We have a vision of, you know, we want to do 20 trees, 25 feet on center
yep.
through our street trees. We've written... paper on it. We've reached out to Arterial. They're reevaluating based off of feedback that they've gotten from the town, so they're a little bit on pause. But
they've rescheduled. I have it here somewhere.
The meeting that was canceled.
Yeah, they're rescheduled. Yeah. So that's fine. I'm glad they're reevaluating. But in the meantime, on the 10th, Hillary and I are going to present to the Historic Preservation about materiality because they asked us to. Give them options.
Uh-huh.
Right. So yeah.
So I'm gonna prep that presentation sometime next week.
And they were very Historic Preservation was really pleased to hear from us and with the paper that you and Britta worked on, and invited us to do a presentation.
Yeah, so I'll probably pull together like four or five slides because I mentioned the majority of it's about the green component, not the hardscape, but I can
right.
put together four or five slides.
And I still owe you those photos. I identified them and they're on my desk.
Ah, perfect. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Cool.
They're critical to our thesis.
I still don't have... I still think we all do need a... Did I get the logo, high-res logo. Do
yeah,
we all have one? Is it in my email?
Yeah.
My computer crashed, and I wonder if I'll be in touch with you if I can't find it.
You'll send
it to me again. Yeah.
And you want me to resend that letter?
Yes.
Template
please.
Letter.
Yeah.
And if Arbor Day is a go, I hope everyone can come and bring two friends.
I've already got my two.
Do you have a time guess?
It's on the poster, but 10. Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Hmm. It didn't seem to pop out at me, so maybe I should check
That's
it.
Good feedback for the graphics.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Good feedback for the graphics.
That is very good feedback.
Okay. Let's see. Should we... I'd like to, if it's okay with everyone, to move to what Rebecca wanted to bring up, new business. Did anybody have a chance to look at general? Do you want to tell us about what you want to do with this?
I skimmed it. I'm already on board.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, I think the concept is very easy to be on board with.
Yeah, well, good. So it's a idling ordinance, which, you know, is a common enough in many, like every state has, you know, an idling, or not every state, yeah, I think every state, most states have an idling ordinance, and then many municipalities have their own additional one. And basically this came about after some conversations with a constituent who basically requested it. And I mean, I definitely, you know, I'm one of those people who's always knocking on people's windows going, excuse me. So basically, I just worked on it with the constituent and put it together, and it just basically outlines the whereases as kind of coming directly from like global climate crisis news, and sort of makes the case for you know, just reducing emissions, and refers to CLCPA, the Climate Act, which, you know, has a whole bunch of targets for emissions reduction, and then just makes the case that, you know, exhaust from motor vehicles is a substantial source of ozone precursors, carbon monoxide, particulate matter, toxic air contaminants, and greenhouse gases. So then it goes on to basically just say that with a whole bunch of exceptions, which that's the part where I feel like, you know, any input, I mean, all of it, of course, your thoughts and research and whatever, very desirable. But it basically just says that a vehicle, and the main part of the ordinance says, no owner or operator of a vehicle on public or private property shall permit the engine of such vehicle to idle except as provided in Section 4 exemption of this ordinance. So, and then,
you know. Sounds great.
I have a quick question, Rebecca. Did we get this so that I can read it, or
maybe
you could just answer the question real quick? Oh, she did.
She sent it at 4:42.
I know, I got it. Here you go. It's bigger.
Absolutely.
You can read it right there.
Okay. Then. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we think they will?
Well, you know, if they don't, then they will enforce the
Well, enforcement, that was my big question. I mean,
that's
besides
my question. I don't want them idling either. I think the what you wrote was excellent, but I just was thinking, who's going to enforce this?
So it says, any parking enforcement officer or member of the City of Hudson Police Department is hereby authorized to issue and serve an appearance ticket as provided in Chapter blank blank blank, which I don't actually know where in the city code it says this, but... And one question I have is, like, is this a code amendment, or isn't it? I don't know.
This is technically what you could call a stretch code, actually.
Oh, really?
You could.
Yes, it is. You're right.
It absolutely is. But I do have a question, because a lot of these kinds of ordinances generally tend to identify the type of vehicle. Like New York City's code, I'm just looking at it now, they're pretty big vehicles. There's an idling law, but it's not for cars. Like regular passenger vehicles, so would
right,
this include passenger?
Right, a lot of them are diesel, but then if you look at municipal ones, they are for just any vehicle.
Let's say the passenger cars; they don't need to idle; they can turn the car off while they're waiting for their friend.
But that is going to be a very dodge, like a hit or miss kind of. Well, they all will be enforcement, won't it? I mean
that's always
that's
going to
be the problem, isn't it?
I don't think it's a reason not to put something in place.
You're right.
It's going to be difficult to enforce, like everything, like sodomy laws are difficult to enforce. You know,
sodomy laws.
I mean, you're on the right
path. It didn't stop people from trying.
Don't put that in
there. Yeah, there are so many things she's not allowed to write about.
Okay, understood.
We got it, yes.
But,
so what do you think from us, would you like a letter supporting the...
For sure, as well, and I definitely also would love any input, like if you have time to read it over and something jumps out at you. I also would be happy to provide you with the... I went over all of like the available state and municipal codes that exist, or that at least at the time that the document I'd be happy to like show you guys that, so that if there's anything in there that you feel like I missed, basically that would be good to have in here.
I trust your
cool.
research. I penalty? Is it possible to write like that the first violation is a warning, not a $100 fee? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm all for charging people if they keep polluting, but you know.
And we do need some signs.
To learn that's a law first.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I think that's a great suggestion. That was one of the things that I thought it was pretty harsh. Because then I was walking here tonight. I went through a parking lot, there was a car idling, and I'm like going, come on, your windows are rolled down. It's not like you have the air conditioner for your ancient mother-in-law and dog in the car while you go get takeout.
Oh, yeah.
But the car was still running.
Could the meter person, parking enforcement, enforce this?
Yeah, I think so. They don't have much to do. No, I'm just kidding.
You gotta walk a lot.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, that would be the reasonable person to...
They're on the ground.
There's also something that I think I put in here. Oh, yeah, so the last thing in here that I found in existing ordinance says, upon report of a vehicle idling in violation of this ordinance, the police shall investigate. So, I mean, it is the kind of thing where there's going to be plenty of people, like, calling, letting the other people know. Like, this car has been sitting in front of my house, blah, blah, blah. And so, I think that's also part of it.
On my run today, I definitely saw the same car idling, it seemed, at the beginning of my half-hour run and at the end. Which is kind of...
Yeah, I think an important part of it also is the signage.
I was going to say the signs. Yeah.
What?
Signs.
Yeah, signage. So it was like the way I put it in here, it requires that owners or operators of parking lots or of any place or business or recreational location in the city of Hudson shall erect and maintain
that's tricky because I think it's going to clutter.
Yeah.
The sign.
And the sign will all look different.
Reading things, I think.
Different styles.
We should have some signage, just maybe not as much as you're suggesting. Mm-hmm. At some point, you get overloaded with data that you don't receive anything, and then the law has to be clearly visible. But I think the warning method is another really good way to learn not to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
True.
And that gives people some leniency. Oh, I had no idea. Yeah. This is a law. And then now they don't do it going forward. But if they do it going forward and they already are on record for having a warning, it's a justifiable fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. To put a sign everywhere could happen.
Well, no, this is just in parking lots. I don't know. I mean,
is that really the place where it's happening?
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. Okay. Yeah, parking lot. People idle all the time.
Oh, say, I feel like it's on streets all the time.
And on streets, but I didn't include it. I don't think it would be possible to ask, you know, every street business to put a sign.
It's happening in residential. Like on my block, at 2 a.m. it was happening. Like, it's not great.
Yeah. Is that personal vehicles, or?
Yeah.
I guess at 2 a.m. it would be, yeah.
At 2 a.m.
yeah, of course it is.
It's just, you know, people will do what...
People do it everywhere.
Everywhere.
With the types of music.
Yeah, whatever, the sound.
I love
sound,
rap music
sound
myself.
Sound is
but...
coming out of the car.
That's also already a code violation. I'm very aware of the sound.
My point being is that's violation. A residential block. Yeah. It's just as offensive as a parking lot, as a municipal block. So signage might not be the most effective way to alert people unless you were to sign every single block.
I'm just wondering if there's a way to put a limited number of signs, because it's not stated very often in Hudson that the speed limit is 30 miles an hour, but everybody knows it. If I don't know what the legalities are of ganging signs together, but if every 30 mile an hour marker, it also says no idling of vehicles in the city of Hudson, or something like that. If we could... We could marry it to something else that's on the same pole and isn't like one per block or six per, you know, maybe just that reminder in a few places.
Mm-hmm.
Or every time it says truck route here, then you...
We could also bounce this over to the police department or the meter collection team.
Ask them.
To have them direct this rather than us.
That's a very good idea.
Brainstorming, because I don't feel like I'm as knowledgeable enough to give an opinion.
And we're really here about the environmental aspect, and I think that we can support you in that. But it might be helpful to you, to behoove you, which I'm sure you've already thought about it, to go over it with them, so that the Common Council, when you bring it before the council, they know that you've already gotten this in a shape that is cool with the police department.
I mean, I don't know if it's
going to
be cool if it's
fine,
but, you know.
It's cool as it can be.
Yeah, I'll find out.
I mean, I guess I'd be curious how would they enforce it. It wouldn't even be a question of how cool are you with it, but if the law existed, what would be your strategy for enforcing it? You know, how would you enforce a law like that?
In police academy, they learn how to, enforce the laws that are... whichever they are. So, but yeah, totally. I'll bring it to the police chief and see.
And the fines go to the city's environmental initiatives.
Oh, hell yes.
That on.
And we could take a note from the
Texas
abortion
really
law.
Idea.
Pay the people who,
call
out. Called in environmental bounty hunters.
No.
Why
not?
Actually, I think that if you can identify a really good place for the funds to go, that is some, yeah.
Well, why not to
the
Arbor Day?
But why not to the CAC? It's true. And its initiatives.
Right. Is that seen as too self-serving that we recommend
this?
I don't think it matters. Is that terrible?
Maybe the Arbor Day, something like that.
Or to the Common Council to decide.
Yeah, or to do we have an environmental coffer?
Nope.
So.
Tom is like, I don't even want to have this conversation.
No, but just I think maybe this needs to be thought out a little bit more. I think at this point in the evening, we all say, yeah, let's give it to the CAC.
But certainly for environmental initiatives, whoever is in charge of the budget.
All right, well, thank you for
that's a really good idea.
That. And if you look over it and see anything else that you can think of,
but just as the lodging tax thing gets money to tourism, I think it's really good to pre-identify what the funds are for. It's not just general.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
It's a really good idea, Tom.
It doesn't
anymore. That's true. It does not anymore. That lodging tax doesn't go to the
funds. Oh, I'm sorry. I just said that.
It did.
Yeah, we got rid of
it. It did, but
it
may
have. Oh, yeah?
All right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good ideas.
Welcome back.
Ed, are you done?
Yes.
So currently, the city, Britt knows about this, about the parking lot, the potential parking lot on North 7th Street. We're in negotiation with the Pocketbook Factory developers to create a parking lot there, but the condition is they have to consult CAC to create an eco-friendly parking lot.
Cool.
Thank you.
So we're hoping that, and Britt off the top of her head suggested this could be done for, a reasonable amount of money. So it's not like we're asking them to, spend $1 million.
No. Absolutely.
And the only thing I'm waiting for is to see how to create this deal. From our attorneys, can it be? It's not clear to me how they can pay for that, and then we'll lease it. We'll lease the lot to them. So that's the overall.
All right.
Have you chosen a landscape architect designer?
No, but that's part of what you guys.
Probably be Dale because he's the LA for Pocketbook.
Cool. Right, but you guys will.
Okay.
Unless they hire someone sub, but they probably pick their local LA that's on the project team.
Gotcha.
I'm taking a mask break, sorry.
I was reminded.
That is wonderful. That's awesome. Great news. Thank you.
Thank you for advocating for an eco parking lot for us.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know, we talked about it a long time ago, and it was more of the city doing it, and that was a harder thing to, you know, figure out how to.
No, I think it's really awesome that you negotiated a private developer to
support. Well, yeah, the point is they've been asking to do it. Both they and the Gallon Foundation have been asking to do it. And I did, my feeling was that we were not going to work with the Gallon Foundation just for all kinds of reasons. Mm-hmm. Not that we're opposed to the project.
Got it.
Otherwise, just read letters from you two opposed to the project. Anyway, but dealing with the Potluck Factory was a different sort of situation.
Cool.
They're one.
That's awesome.
I think that's wonderful.
Can I ask a quick question about this project? Could we tie that in to developing a stretch code, actually, on parking lots for the city of Hudson?
Probably.
Yeah.
We have to fix the ones we have because we're not going to be building more.
Right.
It would have to be, right? Yeah. I mean, it would
just be like when they get redone.
Because they have to get redone anyway. Yep. Yeah.
And actually, we had talked about that months ago when I started writing those parking lot letters.
You've got them.
And there just so many other things had come up, and that's gone by the wayside, but absolutely.
Because you've got all that information.
I do.
You did it all.
And finally, the city is still talking to the Regenesis group.
Oh.
And if that happens, it's not in any way definite, there would be a very big role for the CHC in all this. Because Regenesis, the whole focus of their development is environmentally based. And what they're looking to do, Regenesis along with Impact, the developer, is to create a deal with the city where they become the master planners.
Right.
And it might happen.
They would be very interested in master planners.
And how would that merge with a comprehensive plan if we get grant money for doing that?
Exactly would merge with
the comprehensive plan. Good. Okay, good. Yes, I mean, and that's a good
prosthetic. The sad thing, it turns out the grant which we applied for is only it's roughly $75,000, and that's not enough
for a
proper comprehensive plan. But if it was being done in coordination with Regenesis and the group that wants to be our master planners, then it would be a way to work in together.
That is cool.
So it's all possible. You know, it's good. The master planning idea, I mean, they've done it elsewhere. Neurochelle, and most, there's some criticism, but that's a much bigger project. What they need from the city, of course, is a commitment to us to commit certain properties to the plan and development.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, they're trying to also work with some private stuff going on here. So it could all come together in an incredible way.
That's great.
And the CAC would certainly have a role.
Yeah, and I was really favorably impressed by those two, the presentation for
We're still talking to them about all kinds of things. I mean, they've given us multiple ways of setting up the deal, all kinds of things.
Cool.
Okay, so do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I would love to make
it. Do I have a second? Britt and Tom at the same time.
Done?
Lovely.
Yes.